Good morning, Church. It is my joy and I count it a great honor to be able to share the word with you this morning. So let's open our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Now, C.S. Lewis says, God whispers in our pleasure. He speaks in our conscience and he shouts in our pain. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. What is God saying to the world? He says, look up. I'm here. I want to meet your needs. But what is God shouting to the church? Church, I want you to listen to this song.
I will lift up my eyes to Almighty God and behold His dominion over all. I will lift up my voice to proclaim that my God is the ruler over all. Over all, He's the ruler over all. Over all, my raging storm. My voice to proclaim that
Pastor David Cheng is reputed to be the first COVID casualty in Malaysia. He was not only my pastor, he is a close friend, and he's also the mentor for our children. 10 years ago, he wrote this song. And the song says, Almighty God has dominion over all. He's the ruler over my life. My life in Him is secure. And Jesus is the captain of my soul. God is saying to the church, I am the captain of your soul. When Pastor Jeremy asked me to speak on spiritual discipline, I thought, what would be the greatest need for the moment? And the Lord reminds me of my trip to New Zealand. Emily and I arrived into Auckland late in the evening. Our friends picked us up and took us for a sumptuous dinner. And after dinner, he handed me his car key. And he said, use the GPS and you'll get to your destination. I was too embarrassed to tell him I've never used a GPS. But then I obediently followed. I listened very carefully after locking into the location. I listened very carefully to Miss GPS. And she guided us in the dark. We went through the roads, and we went through farm roads, dirt roads, and finally, Miss GPS said, you have safely arrived at your destination. I was so relieved. I could have turned and hugged and kissed Miss GPS, if not for Emily by my side. The next 4 days, I swapped Miss GPS for our friend. Our friend became our tour guide. Our friend planned everything for us. I need not worry about anything. I need not have to make any decision. She made it for us. She took us hiking. She took us to walk through trails in the woods. We went to the beach. We went fishing. But most of all, we went hiking. After 4 wonderful days, it was time to leave Parau to go back to Auckland. When I turned on the GPS, Miss GPS refused to cooperate. I had to make my way back to Auckland, stopping at different places, asking a direction, getting lost, but finally we arrived at our destination. What is God saying to me? He's saying you need a GPS to navigate through uncharted waters. You see, church, God our Father has given us the scripture. It is a roadmap. But He also sent Jesus Christ, His Son, who came from heaven, and He showed us how to use the roadmap. Now, after Jesus finished His work, He said, it is good that I go back to my Father, and then He will send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you through your life. You see, God has given us the GPS, the Holy Spirit. I would say He is God's paraclete seal, or God's purposeful servant. But I like it as God's presence security. Today, church, I want to speak to you a sermon entitled, Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 say, since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk or keep in step with the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the Word of God, and you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. This morning, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate your Word, bring life to it, and allow us to feel and to know what you are saying to us. For this, I ask and pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Okay, the Holy Spirit is often neglected and sometimes forgotten in the church today. This morning, I would like to give him his rightful place and his honor as the third person in the Godhead, or the third person in the Trinity. Scripture says, in the beginning, when God created the world, the Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the deep. When God made man, he says, let us make man in our image. So the Holy Spirit has been with God from the very beginning. And it is the delight of the Father to introduce the Son. When Jesus began his ministry, the Father spoke from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Father and the Son has great delight to introduce the Holy Spirit as one of them. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was fully revealed, and God did it in spectacular fashion. It says the believers were gathered in the upper room. Suddenly, there was sound of rushing wind. There were tongues of fire, and people were praising God. And that day, the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers. It was spectacular. And God was worshipped and praised in different languages. The Holy Spirit has been given. So, the Holy Spirit is divine. The second thing about the Holy Spirit that we need to honor is that he is a person. As a person, he has a mind, he has emotion, and he has a will. The Holy Spirit has a mind. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart, God who searches our heart, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, the Spirit in us has a mind, and he knows what our needs are, even though we may not know it. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with groans. And the Father, knowing the mind of the Holy Spirit, meet the needs that is there. And that's why we can say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for all things work together for the good of them who loves God and who is called according to his purpose. You see, the Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has an emotion. Galatians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, I like sports, all kinds of sports. That includes wrestling and UFC. During this MCO, because I have more time, I said, God, help me to be more sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Help me to be more intimate with the Spirit. So one afternoon, I was scrolling on the computer and I saw a fight, a UFC fight. I ventured to click on that fight. Immediately, something inside me says, you don't need that. Don't go there. But I disobeyed the voice. I watched the fight till the end, about 15 minutes. At the end of that time, I was literally trembling. I couldn't stop. But I know this. I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I've not taken the Holy Spirit where He wants to. I grieved the Holy Spirit. The Bible also warns us not to quench the Holy Spirit, not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, for our salvation may be in danger. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit has a will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to His children. And in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit decides. He chooses what is best to give to each one of us. And He also forbids sometimes. He has a will, He decides. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companion traveled throughout the region of Pergia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Preaching the word is something which we say God wants us to do. But the Holy Spirit wills that Paul and his companion should not preach in Asia. And verse 7, it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Again, we see the Holy Spirit making a decision, a negative one. You see, if the Holy Spirit is a person, then we need to build relationship with the Holy Spirit. The best picture I can give here is a relationship of a marriage between a man and a woman. Two people can get married and have a paper, a relationship. Yet one of them could be staying in one place and another one in another place. Or one of them could be doing one thing and another doing another thing. You see, in a relationship, there must be an agreement, a desire, a relationship, and intimacy. You see, during this MCO, Emily celebrated her birthday. The children planned and they ordered food. They were sent to the house. And we have a great dinner. After dinner, I asked her what she wants. Some women will ask for diamond rings. Some will ask for Cadillac dinner. But Emily asked for 10 redeemable coupons for hawker food. What Emily wanted was time together. What she wanted was for us to be able to fellowship. For us to enjoy the things we love to do together. You see, what she wants is to have time with me. And that's building relationship. When I was a young Christian, I was brought up very well by the missionary. She said to me, Seng Hock, now that you are Christian, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And you need to read your Bible every day. I was obedient. I'll take my Gideon Bible. When I go to school in St. Xavier's, I'll go to the chapel. And there, I will spend time praying, reading the Bible. And then, I'll begin singing. But as a young believer. How many songs do I know? So I begin to hum songs, and then I will burst into tongues. I will sing in tongues. You know, I was so lifted up, I was singing in tongues. You know, I was touching the Spirit, and the Spirit was ministering to me. There was such intimacy. Unbeknown to me, I had a secret admirer. I had a girl who was listening to me singing. And today, she's my wife for 38 years. So singing in the Spirit can gain you a good thing. You know, after we got married, we loved to walk in the garden because we didn't have much money, and so walking in the garden was a thing we do. And we have wonderful times just being able to spend time together holding hands. And this, I believe, was due to my Christian upbringing. You see, when I was a young Christian, we used to sing this hymn in church. It says, I come to the garden alone, where the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know, I take so much delight in just spending time with Emily. Likewise, I believe Holy Spirit desires for us to take time to spend with Him. And the next thing about the Holy Spirit is He is at work. Okay, in the Old Testament, when God wanted a people to be called by His name, He raised up the nation of Israel. After they left Egypt, it says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistines' country, though that was shorter. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Holy Spirit is actively at work leading the people of Israel into the Promised Land. It says here, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of clouds to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. The Holy Spirit was with the people. He was giving them direction through the pillar of clouds, and at night, the Holy Spirit kept them safe and warm. See, the Holy Spirit is actively working in the lives of God's people. In the Gospel, after Jesus has been baptized, it says, heaven opened up, and the Father said, this is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and enlightened on Him. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days He was tempted. After the Spirit came upon Jesus, He did not leave Jesus. He was working in partnership with Jesus all throughout Jesus' ministry. And that's why Jesus says, I must go back to my Father. Then only can He send the Holy Spirit to you. When the church was born at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, they began to work in partnership because the Holy Spirit was working. Let's look at the life of Stephen. Stephen was only a deacon, but it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was busy preaching the gospel. And he was so powerful in explaining the good news that the Sanhedrins were so jealous of him. Do you know? Stephen only preached one sermon, the longest sermon in the New Testament. And after that, Stephen was stoned. But what a glorious death that Stephen had. If you look at Acts chapter 7, verse 55, it says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, 'Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God.'" And while they were stoning Stephen, in verse 59, it says, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep." See, the Holy Spirit is actively working in the life of believers. The Holy Spirit wants to work in us as we walk in Him. So, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. There's this poem that says, "Two nature beats beneath my breast. One is foul and one is good. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I fits dominates. It all depends on who you fits." Let's take a look at the life of Jesus. After being baptized, and after the Father has said, "This is my Son in whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased," he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. I could imagine the devil coming to Jesus saying, "Son of God, turn the stones into bread." The whisper of the Holy Spirit has been in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, "Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." The devil took Jesus to the high point of the temple and said, since you quote the scripture, he says, "Throw yourself down, and he will command charge of his angels over you. You will not dash your feet against a stone." But Jesus replied in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." You see, sometimes our flesh wants spectacular things. If I jump down and the angels bear me in their hands, it will be spectacular and God will be glorified. But Jesus did not want to gratify the pride of his life. And the devil then took Jesus to a high mountain, showed him the nations, and says, "All this I give to you if you only bow down to me." The answer of Jesus was, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, "Thou shalt not worship any other god." Thou shalt not bow down and worship any other god. You see, Jesus did not gratify the desires of his flesh, but he was obedient to the Holy Spirit. So if you are walking in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. You would have freedom from self, your freedom from selfishness. Number two, led by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, it says, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, fraction, envy, drunkenness, and orgy. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we always quote this: there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit which gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. That's why we say in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I've come not to abolish the law and the prophet, but I've come to fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the law by dying on the cross for us. When we are led by the Spirit, we are then not under the law. Just as Jesus, after He was tempted, and He overcame, He said, the Holy Spirit has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim deliverance for the captives, sight to the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When we are led by the Spirit, we do things of the Spirit, and the law has no hold over us. So you see, if you walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, number three, you would have the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruits of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit. Work is done quickly, instantly, but fruits take time to grow. Every fruit tree produces after its own kind of fruits. If we walk in the Spirit, we would have spiritual fruits. It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. What is the law for a Christian? The law for a Christian is a Christian fruit or Christian character. And with the fruits, we are a blessing to other people. Fruits is for other people to enjoy. And we have tasted of the fruits, they want to know the God in whom we serve. We gain influence over them when we have spiritual fruits. Next, after we have the fruits, it says in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, we will walk in step with the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk moment by moment in dependence upon Him, sensitive to His voice, and in obedience to Him. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the spiritual gifts, as I stated earlier. The Holy Spirit determines who He will give the gifts to. But the Holy Spirit hungers and thirsts to be able to give gifts to His children. When we walk in step with Him, the manifestation of the spiritual gifts is there for us to be a part of. We talk about knowledge, wisdom, faith. We talk of miracles and healing. We talk about prophecies, we talk about tongues, interpretation and discernment. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us to walk in step with Him so that the spiritual gifts can be given to us, so that we can walk in the supernatural. Church, when we activate our GPS, we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We live in the supernatural. Let's not shortchange God and ourselves. Let's live to the full potential that God has for each one of us. I'd like to conclude with this story about a lame man in Acts chapter 3. It says Peter and John was going to the temple to pray, and there was this lame man that has been brought there to beg for money. When he saw Peter and John, he called to them. Peter stopped. The man expected to get a few coins from him, but Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." The man jumped up and started to walk, and he followed Peter and John into the temple, jumping and praising God. See, church, some of us are like this lame man who cannot walk, and we are living from day to day, hoping for the very best. As I said at the very beginning, what is God shouting in the pain of the world? He said, "Look at me. I want to give you life. If you are feeling that you need God, today this is an opportunity for you to do that. Wherever you are, all you have to say is, 'God, I'm looking up to you. I'm asking you, please help me. Forgive me for trying my own way.' And say, 'Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me.' And you can then say, 'Holy Spirit, come and fill me and help me to walk in the power of the supernatural.' If that's you, just pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. Yet, there are some of us who are like this lame man. We are believers, but we have never learned to use our legs. We rather sit and ask God instead of using our legs. And God is saying to us, turn on the GPS. Get into the Holy Spirit. Start walking in Him so that the desire of the flesh will be no more. So that you would be no longer under the law. You would have the fruits of the Spirit." And yet, there's also the last group, which brings joy and delight to God. And these are like the Peters and John, daily going to the temple to pray, and yet sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Church, we want to move into the supernatural. We are talking about revival. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is available. Say, "I want to manifest in your presence. Walk in me, and I will be walking for you." Let's pray. Father, we come before you humbly. We confess that we have shortchanged ourselves. We have not brought you glory by shutting out the Holy Spirit. Today, we give him his rightful place. we invite Him to be in partnership with us. We want to walk in the Spirit to fulfill our purpose and our calling. We thank You, Holy Spirit. We give You honor. We ask of You to walk with us. For this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.